Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Welcome into Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning, coming to you live from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, a.k.a. John Cornell's house and my high school bedroom. They are large enough to serve you, small enough to care. I'm filling in for Shane. His daughter is getting married this week, so he will be out in the next couple days. Congratulations to his daughter and to the Matthews family and to the husband's family as well. That's very awesome. JC, how are you doing?
Hey, man. Great, great. Good to see you, Jake. Got your little double wraith hat going right there. I got my lightning hat, man. I guess it's Tampa Tuesday. No, is it Wednesday or Tuesday? It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
Tampa Bay Wednesday here on the show, my man. What's been going on in your world? What's happening, bro?
Not much. Just been covering some high school sports around Highlands County. Covered a softball game last night. We're just doing well, doing productive things.
Yeah, well, they've had a lot of things go on up here. Not all good. Baseball.
His daughter is getting married this week.
Wait a minute. What's the little feedback? Baseball's in the tank. Softball's best player is hurting. Yeah. I stated on Monday that 2022 can't get through fast enough for folks in the Gator Nation, football, basketball, baseball. It's been one of those years. If Gator fans understand, this is just something that comes along once in a while. I've been reading a lot, Jake, and I'd like your take on some of this football madness and insanity that's going on with all this money floating around like it's literally falling off trees. Do you have a take on how things are starting to transpire and what's needed to keep up right now in football? I'll read you a question that I read off The Athletic that I love to read, and it basically talks about the top football programs and their third-party affiliates already who are giants in the NIL space, which has turned into nothing more than pay-to-play, it would feel like to me. What's your thinking on this as we get going? And maybe we've talked too much about it. Maybe that's why it just continues to crop up in our collective brains. I don't know.
Well, I think the thing we talk about so much is just we're something we're not used to, right? You know, we're used to guys just going to school for whatever reasons they give, and maybe there's some backdoor handshake agreements, some money in an envelope was exchanged. Now all the stuff that we assume was happening behind closed doors is now happening right in front of our faces. And I think that's something that we're still not used to. As people who watched the sport for a long time, especially someone like you and, you know, Shane, who played it back in the day when there was that stuff going on. But, I was having this conversation with a friend the other day. It feels like some kind of regulation needs to happen just because, like you said, it's just insane the kind of money that's being thrown around and the kind of deals guys are getting as, you know, 20-year-olds and 18-year-olds. But it's also hard to regulate that when, you know, it's hard for me to talk about regulation when the money being made off them isn't regulated, right? I mean, they can do whatever they want. The players can go on the field, win all these championships, win all these games. Whether they're paid or not, you know, the corporations that sponsor the events, that give the ad time to ESPN, CBS, Fox, all these stations, you know, they're still going to make their money. The players, you know, regardless or not.
Well, Jake, it's kind of crazy. I think I heard University of Washington's athletic director talk about this whole thing with athletic departments. And what scares me is that these non-revenue sports, and I don't have daughters, but if I had a daughter or two and they were playing sports actively, and sports, let's just be honest, creates the best character of children, I think. And children who participate in sports seem to always do very well later on in life because of all the life lessons they learn, right? So as this Washington athletic director is talking about all of these sports and the non-revenue sports specifically, I think are, you know, if running an athletic department was truly a business, then, you know, all they would do is basketball and football, right? Because everything else loses so much money. And when, and so it's not really like running a business. It's more like running some sort of academy where, you know, you've got actors that are top line headliners, and then you've got a bunch of fill-ins down here. But the fill-ins are just as important to the parents of the fill-ins, basically. And you know, for a player in lacrosse or an athlete in softball, gymnastics, to them, it is just as important and just as important and as exciting to their personal development and their worlds as these football players, as football is to them, right? And the basketball athletes and so forth, the sports that do create the revenue. And of the three schools that have really made the biggest splash in all of this, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Oregon, two of those three schools, financially speaking, are right here in our backyard competing against Florida. It begs the question is how hard is Florida to compete in this space, and how important is it going to be when an SEC opponent like Texas, not even Texas A&M, is literally giving every offensive lineman, well, they're not giving, but part of something associated with that school is giving every single offensive lineman $50,000 to play football.
Yeah, it almost, you know, it feels like, you know, we kept talking about this when this legislation passed in Florida. Not many other states had, and it was, oh, Florida's going to have a jump on, you know, recruiting with name, image, likeness. They're going to have all these benefits because they're one of the first to have it in place. Well, okay, it's kind of balked in that regard, and now all these other schools have caught up, the big name schools, and now you have teams like Tennessee paying a guy $8 million to come in. And actually, you've had a couple comments mentioning Miami with Life Wallet down there in South Florida. I mean, a lot of people think that's the reason Daryl Jackson, the Maryland transfer, went to Miami. I mean, they are being able to throw some money around and get these guys paid. And, you know, when it's about the dollar bill and just not about going to school or, you know, if you don't care about where you go and it's about the dollar bill, Heisman will win.
Bro, and you know, Miami's got this mega booster I read about, this guy named Ruiz, John Ruiz. He's just flat out saying, y'all come down to South Beach because you're going to get paid. And that is, I don't think anybody wants to see that kind of thing happen, because it all of a sudden, we're not talking about college athletics anymore. We're talking about college athletics when we watch track and field or gymnastics or softball, women's basketball, so forth. But they don't pay the bills, right? Those bills are paid for them. So I think, you know, I guess we keep talking about it, and then we end the conversation by saying, I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't really know where that brings us, Jake. I don't know if we're getting anywhere toward some sort of balanced solution. But something has to balance itself out. At some point, you revert to the mean. There has to be a correction. It's kind of like the stock market these days. You know, we're seeing market equity prices go down. It's called a correction. It's called a repricing, a rebalancing. And it usually always happens when there's some sort of bubble. The housing market is in a bubble. That bedroom you're sitting in is worth a lot more maybe today than it was 6 months ago when you were sitting in it. I don't think you did anything different to the bedroom, but the market is dictating that. So the market dictates in college athletics, it seems like, it's feeling like, and this is okay for supply side, free economic people, free enterprise people, but you know, it feels like we're going to have some sort of crash or bubble when all of this comes crashing down. And this kid from Tennessee, and I'm not rooting against him, but what if he is a bust? You know, Spire Sports out of Knoxville just looks like the biggest idiots in town for throwing free money at a kid that's nothing more than a smiling face at an ice cream parlor. That is stupidity. But they're thinking he's going to bring the University of Tennessee and all that comes with it to the promised land. Well, it's going to take more than one kid to bring Tennessee to the promised land.
Well, you mentioned paying the bills. I got to pay the bills really quick here, JC, and then I got two questions for you from our live feed. Okay. This one's for South State Bank. At South State Bank, we understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State has four convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, banking forward, member FDIC, and I'll tell you about Celebration Point, too. Celebration Point is where the Gators come to celebrate JC with premium brands like David Buster's, Bass Pro Shops, Hotel Indigo, Medici's Escapology, Kilwin's, and the HBC's restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, where they can get 50% off a bottle of wine every Wednesday. We'll see you at Celebration Point, where Gators come to celebrate. So we got two Facebook Live questions for you. How does NIL directly relate to athletic departments? And then also we had a question from Scott talking about the tax man and the NIL. Do you think that's going to get involved maybe a little bit? I don't know how the tax code already works with that, but the government hasn't met a revenue stream that it doesn't like.
I think, these will be life lessons for, this is what college is all about. These kids are going to realize that $8 million is really five, and they'll try to figure out why is that. And, income taxes are income taxes. I don't know how that's structured within the Internal Revenue Code on some of these gifts. I know that in my business, if you take a check from a competing firm, that money can be paid out over time or upfront and then forgiven over time as a forgivable loan. Maybe that's part of the structure. And that, because of the forgivable loan structure, gives you a lower tax burden on the income or money you received initially upfront. And so instead of it being at your income bracket, it comes down to a percentage of, say, 5%, and it's paid out over 7 years or something to that effect if you paid up all front. Money. And then in this case, if it is income, straight income, and they have to withhold or pay some of this, it becomes a business expense deductible to the giver, right? And so there are just kinds, there are things that these people are learning. They're going to be learning quickly, these kids, and they're going to need people alongside of them to help them manage this, because it's overwhelming to a certain extent. This money is absurd. It's a lot. And it is part of what I think, in a way, is right, though, because this is a business, even though the Washington Athletic Director says it's not, it is when income is involved and money is being paid. And when that happens, there are things that come into place that you have to be prepared for, because, we have a taxation system in this country for income. So I don't know how it's structured, how they do it. That would be the simplest way I think it happens, is that it's no different than getting a check that you win from the lottery, or that you get from somewhere else that just falls in your lap for services rendered, and then you pay taxes on that income. So that's what I think is the case. It may be, and somebody within the journalism community that I used to be a part of that is currently doing it could probably give you a better explanation, but that's the best I can come up with at this point right now. What was the other question about what is NIL to athletic departments? Name, image, and likeness. So a player is entitled.
I was talking about how do they directly correlate? Because the athletic departments are supposed to be separate from the NIL deal.
Well, if Anthony Richardson is playing for the Florida Gators and he wants to brand himself and go get paid to sign autographs at the bookstore, it is now legal, and the athletic department cannot suspend him from taking those payments because he plays for the University of Florida. If he played for anyone, it's the same for everybody now. So that was a Supreme Court decision that said this is allowed because it is antitrust. There's antitrust issues if it's not allowed. And, you can't have the labor not getting paid and just all the administration getting paid. And when she says it's not a business, because if it was, only basketball and football would exist. Every business has a losing element to it of some sort. And many businesses don't mind having subsidiaries or losing elements within their business because they use it to tax harvest. And I'm getting way out there in the weeds now, but if you want to give Hannah Adams money because she could throw the softball 100 miles an hour and beat Oklahoma and Patty Gasco in the college world series, you're free to do it now, and nobody's going to stop you. So I hope I did a good job there.
Well, you mentioned that every conversation that you have about this ends in, well, we don't know what's going to happen. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen. We've never done this before.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's true. It's trial by error. 5 years from now, things could be very different the way it happens. But money is just pouring into these kids' laps. And the crazy thing that drives Shane crazy, and to a much lesser extent drives me crazy, certainly not nearly as much as it drives him crazy, is that a kid that's never performed in the field of play is being paid more money than some of these guys in the National Football League. Okay. I mean, and that's so backwards in his thinking that that I agree to a certain extent. But Jake, you are worth what the market gives you. It pays you. If somebody says that beard that Jake Hitt is wearing is reminiscent of Moses and wants to typecast you in a film, and you have zero experience being Moses in a film, but they're going to give you $25 million to do it, God bless. You've got something that no one else has. I don't know.
It's the same with these, with kind of the you know, with, I mean, professional athletes, coaches, even in the college coaching game, you get paid what people think you're worth.
You do. Paid
what you're worth, too.
Your house. Awesome. You know, you talk about housing. Your house is worth what the market says it's worth. And it is nothing more than that. It is drywall. It is wood. It is LED lighting. And whatever the market says that crap is worth is what you're going to get paid if you try to sell it.
Yeah. And I got a little factoid for you. According to Dan, JC, Florida Gymnastics was number 3 in revenue. It does make some money, just not as much as Florida and basketball.
Ticket sales?
I do think that, especially in a place like Florida, football and basketball aren't the only sports that make money. You will have at some point, you know, whether on a good year, whether it's the baseball team, the softball team, or the gymnastics team, they can, you know, bring in some revenue dollars.
Well, sustainability is what I'm really talking about. At any given time during a season, you can have an average of 8,000 fans show up for your gymnastics meets. But over time, is the gymnastics team as a single entity self-sustaining? And I'm going to say probably not. Because of all the things that are required to keep these athletes in peak condition, to keep these athletes comfortable when they travel to exotic destinations, right? And it is not cheap. You've got to keep them in school. You've got to pay for people to travel with them to do their schoolwork when they go and compete on the road and so forth. I don't know. I would think the numbers would show over time that it's not a moneymaker. So, and it certainly is not a moneymaker at schools like Georgia or well, I shouldn't say that. Schools that have gymnastics programs like NC State, Virginia, Oklahoma State that are not drawing 10,000 fans in their basketball arenas to do gymnastics. Okay. Florida is the exception, not the rule right now.
Yeah. And, you know, Brian comments almost immediately NIL has taken away the amateurism of college athletics. Would you agree with that?
Well, I would. I mean, I think, though, that at some point when there are billions in, I mean, with a B, dollars with a B being generated revenue wise over TV contracts and maybe it's not billions with one specific school or conference, but it all adds up to be billions over the whole landscape, that at some point the labor has to be paid, man. I mean, none of this happens without those guys and gals competing in front of our eyes that we want to spend our free time and our discretionary dollars watching what they do. You don't get paid millions to mow the grass. Well, maybe you do, but I'm not spending money in that regard to watch people do things out here on the golf course. But I might spend $150 on Saturday afternoon just to show up to the Florida-Tennessee game, and then another $150 to be entertained at the Florida-Tennessee game. And before you know it, a family of two or three or four has spent $300 to $400 watching college athletes perform on the field. And you're telling me that those guys that are actually doing it aren't entitled. And that's what the Supreme Court has said, is that, yes, they now are entitled through their name, through their image, and through their likeness, you know, cartoons and so forth. But now it's gone to a second level where basically they're saying, Tennessee guy, California guy, come to Tennessee. Here's $8 million. Sign this contract. That's called pay for play. And you're right. That is not an amateurish. That is not amateur athletics. Not at all.
And, you know, it's kind of resulting in this I mean, look, we already knew that the one-time transfer waiver was going to cause some issues here with college athletics, but I think somebody actually listed a stat that a little – here it is right here. Of the athletes that entered the portal in 2019, 2020, and 2020, 2021, only 59% of them – 59% of them remained on scholarship and 41% lost their aid completely.
Wow.
And, you know, it's also makes you wonder what happens to these NIL deals that are specific to certain schools, like these collectives that schools' fan bases are creating now with Oklahoma, Tennessee, at Florida, all these other places. Do that money just go away? I'm wondering how that works. I'm sure it's contingent on their enrollment at school, right?
I would think, yeah. I mean, they have to be eligible to do what they're being paid for, man. I mean, it's pay for play. That's what we've got going right now. I can't imagine that when all this started, the unintended consequences, nobody had the foresight to see this, was on the way. I mean, when you have a lot, you want more, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. The more you have, the more you want. And that is just human nature. And it just gets competitive to an extent that we're going to have the haves, and then we're going to have the have-nots. And I'm sorry, these football players in the MAC, yeah, they better play on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, because that's the only way anybody's going to watch them. And yeah. I don't know if it's going to be feasible, economically speaking, to even have football at some of these schools. And some of these schools, Loyola of Chicago being one of them from years gone by, or University of Chicago, a lot of these schools, they just decided football, forget it. We're paying for it. We're not going to do it. So I think we're going to see some sort of thinning out over the next 10 years of some of these programs in college football that are of smaller design and less. Now, and that doesn't mean that they won't be able to compete within their own little sphere or their own scale or their own world. But these days of Furman coming to Florida Field are soon going to be over.
And whether that was soon over, I mean, back in the early part of the last decade.
Who came to Florida Field last year that really had no business playing Florida? Exactly. I mean, this is a school the size of smaller than Santa Fe College over here. Santa Fe College doesn't have a team competing, but Stanford does. Up in Alabama. Okay, so you tell me. It's whether or not they want to do it, but at some point, Florida fans, the market will not pay for those games anymore. Those games are going by the wayside. It's not going to happen.
So let me tell you about Chris Doering Mortgage really quick. At Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping some home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. And Peachland Dentistry, Gator Nation's number one choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte and surrounding areas. Visit them at peachlanddental.com and join us on Friday for our Peachland Dentistry JC and the QB weekend picks. I'm not sure if you're still doing that, JC.
We are. We're picking golf.
So I wonder how this all has you think this has all culminated with and resulting with Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, deciding, you know what, I'm done. I got to get out of here.
He did that yesterday.
Yeah. Do you think that was this?
I think it was time for him to do that well before yesterday, dude. Especially when the Kansas City Jayhawks won the basketball championship. I mean, the Kansas City Jayhawks. I got to be honest. I got so excited about them. I went and bought their hat. It's sitting in my closet.
No, really?
Yeah. But when I typed in
Kansas City Jayhawks.
Yeah. And when I typed in Kansas City Jayhawks on 47's website, I did not to count up. I saw the Royals. I saw the Chiefs. Still looking for those Jayhawks. It took an extended search for me to get the Kansas City Jayhawks. But listen, Mark Emmert, he's in over his head. Certainly did not show much leadership within the NCAA. And going to need somebody younger, somebody with a little bit more vision. And the NCAA is going to have to do, I mean, they run a basketball tournament. That's basically what they do.
I mean, they also run all the other lower division tournaments as well, don't they?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I'll never forget the NCAA, you know, running at softball back at the Seashore Stadium over here. It's NCAA tournament, you know, you got to pay to get. And then they have certain ways to do the concession. It's just everything was just so disjointed. It felt awkward. And I don't know, man. It seems like the more government entities that get involved in things like this, the more dispersion you have. It's difficult. So I don't know. Listen, I think the market will work itself through this NIL thing. It always does. Free markets always work. And there's going to be some sort of, I don't know if a salary cap is the solution, or if contractual agreements are the solution, or if money that's going to be flowing into these schools through these TV contracts are going to have to be used in certain ways. I don't get paid. I don't get paid to think about this as hard as Greg Sankey does, and maybe Scott Strickland over here. So hopefully what we're going to see in Florida.
You're going to get paid as much as Mark Emmert gets paid to do nothing about it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, the problem too is that, okay, so we're going to see upgrades to facilities here at Florida. So for fans, where is the good coming out of this for people like us, right, Jake? And the answer is going to be we're going to get a better football stadium to sit in. We might get more accommodations for parking and so forth. Things are going to be invested into the program, and that's going to make things better, not worse. So that's a good point. The other point I would make is that we talk about expansion, and certainly Texas and Oklahoma made all the noise last year. Do you realize that we are still literally more than almost a graduating class away from any of that transpiring? So we talked all about this, Texas, Oklahoma, all of this last year. 2025, July of 2025 is the earliest this can happen, unless, of course, you're Shane and you think it could have happened this year, which was patently wrong. But 2025 is the earliest this could happen, Jake. And yet it gets talked about still. And because, I mean, I don't know. Are you thinking about July of 2025, or are you thinking about April of 2022 right now, or August? And yeah. I mean, it's what are we doing with these TV contracts? I mean, why are we waiting for 3 years for this expansion to finally get the ball rolling on expansion for other conferences?
That was kind of the running joke with this. You know, you mentioned the pay games have kind of fallen to the wayside for some athletic programs and some football teams, with teams now wanting to play Power Five opponents to help their resume, get into the college football playoff and the ranking mm-hmm. system and so forth. Mm-hmm. You know, with that, it's just become even more so.
Well, yeah, I mean, I hear you. I think, I just think that, you know, we've got problems today to think about, and I just don't know if, I mean, at some point, Oklahoma and Texas will be members of the Southeastern Conference. Alabama's playing at Texas this year. But yeah. Texas and Oklahoma are Big 12 teams right now. They are playing in that conference. The Big 12 went ahead and invited BYU, Central Florida, Houston, Cincinnati, and if I'm forgetting somebody, my apologies. But they're already making plans to change. And I don't know why. Well, I do know why. It's called television contracts. But why can't everything just get – if it's going to get blown up with NIL and name, image, likeness, and everything's going to get blown up, as Dabo Swinney says, then why don't we just blow up these TV contracts and get right on with it? Well, it's because the networks don't want to pay any more than they have to before 2025, right? I mean, they're not going to – well, do I want to write a check right now with inflation soaring, market crashing and all that to expand my television rights? No, I'm going to wait till 2025. So everything seems to take longer than it should. And that's, you know, that's why the conversation is worthless to have right now. But yet you hear it all the time.
You know, well, you know, the SEC is also having some change with, you know, the premier SEC slot now going to ESPN, ABC, not CBS anymore.
Okay, well, when is the CBS contract finished? Is it 23? Isn't it finished after next season? I mean, think about that. We're a complete summer away from this upcoming season. Then we got to wait another season and sit through those 3.5-minute commercial timeouts on CBS. It's the most miserable thing you could do, right? I'll tell you another thing. We talked about this in the car going down to Tampa yesterday, Jake, to switch gears for a minute. Utah is coming to the swamp in September. Utah is a very low humidity, dry climate. Utah players, if they have to play in the swamp at 3:30 in the afternoon, in all likelihood are going to suffocate. Okay, so just think about that as a home field advantage for Florida, because I looked at their schedule, Jake, and as a Gator fan, you can tell me, do you see 7 wins on this schedule for Florida?
When no, it's going to be rough sledding, man.
I mean, you've got LSU, Texas A&M, Georgia, and then South Carolina all back-to-back with a week off in between. And there goes well, –
go ahead. Did you shove a car alarm?
She's cranking it up. And I think
she's trying to break into your car, JC.
She hit the panic button. She's going to the beach. She hit the panic button. I apologize, folks. Sorry
but
for
yeah,
that.
I mean, oh, we got Ainsley Lee on
okay.
For our next segment. She's going to talk about high school sports and some softball. For anybody all wondering, right. ESPN's deal with the SEC starts in 2024.
Okay, fair enough. Jake, great being with you today. I wish you the best in the summer. We'll see you again soon.
No problem, JC. Talk to you later. We'll go to a break, and we'll have Ainsley Lee of the Gainesville Sun on.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co., Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Style Cuts, Big Mills Cheesesteaks, Ironwood Golf Course. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Hello, we're back. Let me tell you about QC Kinetics really quick. If you've got joint pain in your knees, shoulders, hips, or back that won't go away, you need to check out QC Kinetics for long-lasting relief. No surgery needed, drugs, or downtime. Schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics, 352-400-4550. Call today, QC Kinetics. So I'm joined by Ainsley Lee. She is the high school sports reporter for the Gainesville Sun, also does reporting on Gator softball. So we'll be talking those topics. Ainsley, how are you doing?
Not bad. It's a little early for my liking, but we're here.
I'm sorry to interrupt your beauty sleep, but how have things been going on the high school circuit in Alachua County?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really busy. I mean, people don't realize how busy the spring season is for us. They think football's, you know, super busy, which it is. But, you know, in the spring, we've got softball. We've got baseball here in Gainesville. We've got lacrosse, boys lacrosse, girls lacrosse. We've got track. We've got flag football nowadays, beach volleyball. So, I mean, the spring season's absolutely crazy for us. But we are making the most of it. It keeps me busy, so we can't complain there.
What have who's really been making waves, whether it be softball, baseball, or even that flag football that you were talking about, which I've covered as well. I'm also a high school sports reporter for anybody who knows.
Yeah. So here, you know, under our coverage umbrella, we have about 12 or 14 Class 1A teams, which is really a bulk of that classification. So we typically always have, you know, a leader in that class and just about any sport. I mean, during football, you've always got Hawthorne who's going to make a deep run. But I mean, when you look at baseball and softball, they own that spectrum as well. So baseball, We've got, you know, I had a freelance reporter out at Lafayette, Mayo. They visited Newberry yesterday and ended up being a pretty tight game. Those are two of the top teams in the class. You've got Union County, who's always going to have a top team in the class. And same goes for softball. You've got Trenton, who made a state championship, I believe, run a couple of years ago. They've got a couple of girls on Power 5 rosters right now. I mean, Bryn Thomas, who's on UF's roster, came out of there. I think USF has a girl who came out of that, again, very tiny school. So Union County softball, Union County softball, Trenton softball are really good programs as well. When you go into the bigger classifications, you know, you and I were just talking about in the break, Buchholz is looking pretty strong. They're peaking at the right time baseball-wise. Buchholz baseball is peaking at the right time and starting to string together a couple wins. They've got a tough matchup against the Cal Forest tonight. And then, you know, I think Columbia as well out in Lake City has been really strong in baseball as well. So, again, I mean, outside of the Class 1A, it kind of dwindles down a little bit just because, you know, those bigger classifications across the state are a lot more talented. Mm-hmm. But whenever you've got a bulk of a classification right in your coverage area, chances are you're going to have a pretty strong one of the stronger teams in the classification.
Yeah. Ainsley, we have a Facebook Live comment. Who has the best chance in 1A to win that title? Williston, Trenton, or Union County? Someone also said, watch out for Panama City Bozeman in 1A baseball. They are legit.
Yeah. So Williston, I know they had some really big runs in the last couple of years, but really, I haven't looked at their roster a ton. I don't know if they're super young, but they really just haven't had the season that everybody expected them to have. When you look at that Newberry Lafayette team, they've played each other twice in the last 2 weeks and it's a 1-1 series. So your guess is as good as mine. I mean, Lafayette won last night. They've got a heck of a kid in Jackson Ward, a senior who's a two-way player. He's going to pitch by you, you know, or he can hit it by you. But I mean, same for Newberry. I mean, they got this guy, Tom Chack, who pitched last night. He retired 15 straight batters, in a loss. So yeah, that one's, it's a toss up. I mean, I would put, them past Union County, I believe. I don't think either of them have played each other, but you know, just, you know, for, I think Lafayette started the season 15-0. So
this is for baseball or is this for softball?
This is baseball.
What about softball? There's Williston, you got Trent, and you got Union County.
So I've seen Union County play and that team can really, really hit. I haven't seen Williston play yet because, again, we cover 24 teams, so it's hard for me to see everybody. Union County can really hit. I mean, they've knocked off Gainesville High, which is obviously a 6A, much bigger school. So, I mean, Union County was definitely, I think, my team to beat in a 1A classification this season.
So I have to ask you about this because you're a softball girl, and you know I covered softball for a season, and I covered softball here in Sebring. But I was looking at some stuff, looking at some rankings, and there's a town about 35, 45 minutes from here called Bartow. Have you ever heard of Red Oxley?
No.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. So she plays for Bartow. She's apparently well-known on the travel circuit. She's only a sophomore. They're a 6A high school. She has a 0 ERA in 17 appearances. She's got over 90 innings pitched, and she struck out 238 batters.
Wow.
They faced Doral Academy in a tournament earlier. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but she struck out 18 batters and no hit them.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Florida and California is, you know, typically where a lot of the top softball prospects come out of. I know there's a girl in Pace who has posted very similar numbers to what you just said. I mean, and I think she's also a sophomore. So this is the first season she's actually been able to like communicate with colleges and things. But, I mean, she's got offers from Oklahoma, Florida, LSU, Arkansas, and she's a sophomore. I mean, so this girl is probably 15 years old. So, I mean, yeah, there's a ton. This state is so nutrient dense for softball talent in the, you know, in the high school, you know, college prospect world. So yeah, that doesn't surprise me whatsoever that we've got some kids out there that are doing this.
I know it just kind of blew me away because, you know, it usually tends to be with softball. It's you can't look at softball stats the way you look at baseball stats. But when I saw an 0.48 batting average against, I'm like, that's stupid. And she's like, you said, she's 15, 16 years old. So, Ainsley, we'll get a little bit into what you had. You had a meeting. I think you met with the rules committee, or not met with, you were covering the rules committee meeting a couple of days ago. Talked about implementing a shot clock. So they went ahead with that. Could you give people a rundown on what's going on there?
Yeah. So I covered the FHSA board of directors meeting on Monday. They implemented a shot clock, kind of, is what we're saying. So Charlie Ward, who I'm sure most people know that name, you know, he's the head basketball coach at Florida High up in Tallahassee. And they won the state championship this year, I think in 3A. Anyways, so he's been a big supporter of high school implementing a 35-second shot clock for both girls and boys basketball. And if you watch a lot of high school basketball, like us sports reporters do, you would love to see a shot clock be implemented. You know, the biggest thing is the financial concerns of all these schools having to, you know, fund putting these shot clocks into gyms. You know, numbers were being thrown around that it's anywhere from $2,900 to $5,000 to put a shot clock into the gym. And then you're not even talking about like having somebody trained on shot clock or having to pay an official to run the shot clock. As such with anything, money was the biggest concern. So what they elected to do, which was very similar to the initial proposal. So the initial proposal was going to be, you know, for 2 years, schools could kind of pick and choose whether or not they were going to have a shot clock. And then come that third season, so 2024-25, was going to be mandatory. So instead of making that mandatory, they removed that language and just kind of said, okay, we're going to allow shot clocks. If you want to have a shot clock, they're not going to be used in the state series. They're not going to do any of that. So if you want it, you can do it. And that was kind of that. And I think what their hope is to kind of be able to go back and kind of see and get feedback from these other teams and say, hey, do we like this? Do we not like this? And then kind of make the decision moving forward on that. And that also opens up the, you know, they were talking about, you know, getting sponsorships or, you know, landing a deal with Daktronics or, you know, whoever does these shot clocks to see if they can, you know, get some kind of deal for some of these schools who might not otherwise be able to afford it. So that was definitely the biggest thing on the docket. You know, most of everybody had heard that the football classifications changed back in February. Splitting them up to 8 classifications, 4 metro classifications and 4 suburban classifications. And so they did that on the basis of the fact that for like the last 10 years, like 89% of, you know, high school football state champions had come out of, you know, these metro areas within the state, Jacksonville, Orlando, Miami, those type of places. And these suburban classifications, even though they're having to, or these suburban areas rather, even though they're having to play these other metro, deemed metro programs, Buchholz, for example, last year was 12-2 last year, was probably one of the better rounded high school football teams I'd ever seen. But when you run into St. Thomas Aquinas, that's it.
I feel that because, I mean, me covering the sports that I cover, we're in a very rural area, and it just is awful when teams make the playoffs and they have to play the first academy in Orlando as their first game of the year. Like, it's just not fair because it's not the same resources. It's not the same part of the state that they're playing in. And so I would like to see, you know, people want to see teams make the playoffs, make a playoff run. So I feel like this, you know, they might run into those bigger schools down the line, but at least gives them a couple more opportunities to, you know, advance into the postseason.
Yeah, and so they passed that back in February. And then on Monday, it was put back on the table just to kind of open up discussion. They had a lot of people drive up from, a lot of public speakers drive up from the Miami area, athletic directors and things like that, who obviously are not in favor of it. Because, you know, now they're having to get beat up on by really each other. These other big schools are just kind of beating up on each other. But the board decided that, hey, we're not going to go back on the decision that we made in February. They said it would be poor governance, which they would have been right, in my opinion. I mean, how are you going to go back on a decision you made 2 months ago? And just to postpone it when schedules have already been made, we're in spring football, August is right around the corner, just couldn't happen. So glad that they went forward with that. So yeah, I mean, it was all that in about 4 hours of my time on Monday morning.
that would make no sense as to go back and make that rule change already. But I was going to ask you something, and I can't remember what it was now. Oh, spring football. It's right around the corner. Who he's headed to go see on Friday?
Yeah, so on Friday, I think I'm going to go see PK Young, who really had a different season last season than what they've had. It was a program that really, really struggled, and they put together, you know, a postseason run last year. They've got a kid in Jaron Hamilton who was just visited by UF recruiters Monday. Alabama was coming to see him on Tuesday, I believe. So they've got some talent on that roster. You know, we're going to visit Oak Hall just because, you know, they're one of the smaller schools and we like to give them a little bit of attention here and there. And so those will be my two Friday. And I'm sure next week I'll get right back to it. Maybe visit some Hawthorns who, you know, were state runners up in the class 1A level. Maybe go see what Gainesville's up to. Yeah, I mean, spring football is always a great time because it opens up opportunities just to kind of see where every team's at. You've got to take it with a grain of salt in the spring, simply because of the way where we are in high school football in the time of transfers. You know, chances are there's probably going to be about 8 kids on that spring roster who you're going to see somewhere else in the fall. But nonetheless, it gives us an opportunity to kind of see how teams are identifying themselves and, you know, and playing without the group of seniors that they're graduating here come May.
Yeah. So I'll tell you a little bit about, I got to tell you about this day in sports history, because then we're going to move on to your favorite topic, which is Gator softball. So in this, on today in sports history, Rocky Marciano, the original Rocky, retired. He was 49-0 and still holds the highest knockout to win ratio in world heavyweight title fights at 85.7%. That's brought to you by Comfort Temp. Comfort Temp is comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp is now hiring team members with all levels of experience, great culture and benefits, and opportunity for growth. $1,000 sign-on bonus for qualified positions. Call today to learn more about a career with Comfort Temp Company, 352-376-2366. So, Ainsley, we've already seen what the Gator softball team is like without Hannah Adams. They now have to play Stetson tonight and then go on the road to play LSU. What are your thoughts on these upcoming games for them?
Yeah, I mean, life without Hannah is proving to be pretty difficult, but we knew it would be. You know, she's a 5-year senior who, up to the injury, hadn't missed a game her entire career. But Stetson, you know, and fun fact, I actually went to Stetson for a little while, so I've got a little bit of a loyalty to them. But they've got a good program, but it's not Florida caliber, so I don't expect the Gators to have too much trouble tonight. It'll provide a good opportunity for them to rebound after a really rough weekend against Arkansas. LSU's a good program, a team that I think, you know, opened the season like in the top 5, and then quickly dropped down, you know, just kind of free fall. I think they come in at like number 21 right now. But the SEC has proven this season that anybody's going to beat anybody on any given day. We saw Alabama. I don't know if they got swept or they just lost the series, but they lost to Texas A&M last weekend. You know, Arkansas obviously sweeps Florida, which shouldn't have, if you pay attention and really watch, you know, SEC softball, shouldn't have come as much a surprise. I think that win did give Arkansas the respect that they deserve. But there is, I think, the biggest thing that I'm keeping my eye on this weekend is not only just kind of rebounding from the Arkansas sweep, but I believe Tim Walton is on career win number 997, 98. So he's approaching that 1,000 mark. So he could get that this weekend, which will just be pretty cool. I mean, for him, you know, he told us a couple of weeks ago after the Alabama series that he has started running this season. He hasn't ran since his time playing professional baseball. And so this season's taken a toll on him a little bit. I mean, you know, he comes in a lot more frustrated than I've seen in past seasons. So it'll just be a moral victory for him. If even that, I don't even know. He's got to know he's approaching 1,000 wins. I'm sure he gets reminded, but he doesn't care right at this point. But I mean, that'll be pretty cool. I mean, that's quite the milestone. I think he'll be the only one to join Florida Volleyball's Mary Wise in that number. I mean, 1,000 wins, that's huge. That's a lot of wins.
Yeah.
So, you know, this team's still trying to figure out who it's going to be, who it wants to be. And I don't think they're going to find out this season, and that's okay. This team's so young. I remind people of that pretty often. When it boils down to it, the team's going to be all right, maybe not this season, but next season. We asked Walton after the Arkansas team, is this kind of where you thought you guys were going to be? And he was like, yeah. Which, I mean, props to him for being blunt and honest.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But team super fun to watch nonetheless. Always is. And it's a program that handles itself fast. So it's always a pleasure kind of come springtime being able to watch them and cover them. And they're going to be hosting the SEC tournament May 10th yeah. through 14th. So that'll be a good time here in Gainesville. So yeah, just kind of where we're at.
Yeah, just a little concerning against that Arkansas team. I know you said Arkansas is really good, and I agree with you as well. But, I mean, since Hannah Adams is gone from that lineup, Gators have hit 053. That was against South Florida, 182, 231, and 087 in their first four games, which are in four of their last five games without Hannah Adams.
Yeah, I mean, so in the USF game, Georgina Corrick's probably one of the best pitchers in the country.
Yeah, I will say that. I would want to mention they have one of the best pitchers in the nation.
Yeah. But I mean, and I talked with Tim about this after the Arkansas game. Yes, that batting average certainly matters. And, you know, Hannah Adams did provide a lift there early on in the lineup. But the biggest thing that, like, I've noticed is this team doesn't walk, will not walk. I mean, Skylar Wallace has got 36 walks on the year. Charlotte Adams got 29. But after that, nobody walks. They had three walks against Arkansas, the entire three-game series. Arkansas had 13. And so Tim Wong says, you know, it's something that comes with having a young lineup. These girls come out of high school where they're probably used to having nights where they're hitting – going 3-for-4, 3-for-3, 2-for-3, something like that. And then they come in the SEC, and you're not going to have those type of days. But that doesn't mean you need to just go chopping away at every pitch. I mean, you got to credit the girls. They're not scared. They want to hit. Mm-hmm. But sometimes getting on base is all you need. And we just haven't seen that. I mean, you look at the years past, Kendall Lindemann walked a lot. Amanda Lorenz would walk, even though everybody knows Amanda Lorenz has got a bat that can go put it out in the road, but she's still going to walk if she needs to. And so the approaches in the plate have just been, you know, very mediocre. You know, they get in plus counts and they just go chopping. Mm-hmm. And it's not always, in fact, it's probably rarely what you need to be doing. But again, I mean, you've got Kendra Falby, who typically leads off, who's a freshman, even though she's a very mature freshman, and she will walk. I'm looking at this lineup here. Reagan Walsh is a freshman. Reagan Walsh is a kid who, if she puts the barrel on it, it's leaving the yard, and so she wants to do that. You know, let's see. Emily Wilkie and Avery Gales, I mean, they're both sophomores in the middle of the lineup. Katie Kistler is a sophomore in the middle of the lineup. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 upperclassmen. Without Hannah Adams, you've got 4 upperclassmen in that lineup. So
yeah, look, you and I covered Gator softball back when Amanda and Kendall were still on roster. Like you said, they're good for at least 4 walks between the two of them during the game. But that's all we have time for. I want to thank Ainsley for coming on. Ainsley, where can they find you? Ainsley's 2Bits on Twitter, right?
Yep. And then I'm, you know, obviously I'm pretty a frequent flyer there on the Gainesville Sun. You can catch me just about every day. Twitter, and you can find all my contact information in my Twitter bio. Shoot me an email at the Gainesville Sun. Super easy to get hold of.
All right. Thank you for your time. And that'll be our show for today. Evan, you can take us out. But I want to thank Ainsley Lee and JC for a wonderful show today. We will see you all tomorrow for Thursday.
First and 10. Matthews, near side, wide open, Alonzo Sullivan. He may go. Touchdown, Gators.